Shop Woodhouse Mazda first and experience the Woodhouse difference. At Woodhouse Mazda, we make car buying simple. From the Mazda CX-9 to the Mazda 3, we are sure to have something that fits your needs. Visit one of our two convenient locations in Omaha to shop our showroom or take a test drive.
All right, any news coming out of Wisconsin is not real popular in Omaha and Nebraska in the last couple of days. But this guy has always got a pass on our show. It's time to do some fantasy football as we enter a week that begins tonight with Atlanta and Carolina. We welcome in Joe Bartel from RotoWire. Joe, good Thursday afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, and yeah, you're right. Sorry to everyone else out there as a Badger fan that we have to ruin the Big Ten parade, but it is what it is at this point.
And we have talked about it. You are residing in a state that is having a bad stretch here when it comes to the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. And the the campus itself, when all the students came back, was actually really bad. That Wisconsin was kind of, I guess I'll say, relatively speaking, turning it around. And then the campus, it kind of felt like it reignited almost everything that was concerns by scientists and everything else throughout the past couple months. Students have been actually pretty good, and I think UW-Madison has done a really good job in terms of trying to provide many different resources for students to get tested, not just if they're sick, even if it's kind of planning beforehand and things like that. And, we've seen some really positive turnaround, specifically in Madison. That's unfortunate. The football team is currently dealing with what really feels like the entire world, again, is dealing with. But it is something we have to kind of just understand. It's probably going to be the new normal, like we've been saying now for the past couple months.
All right, let's now shift to fantasy and let's focus on tonight. And you know how this is with COVID, some guys that may not be in your lineup on the weekend. Then there's some guys with some injuries that are very important to fantasy. Are we trending towards Christian McCaffrey not playing tonight?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. And I understand from the Panthers' perspective, while they are doing all right, relatively speaking, for their record, there was never, I thought, aspirations for the Panthers to really be competitive in the playoffs. So do you really need to risk your $16, $17 million running back per year? When he's dealing with an injury that certainly could affect him for the rest of the season, potentially more in terms of a high ankle sprain, I don't know. And maybe if Mike Davis was struggling more, this would be less of an issue. Mike Davis, for the most part, has been a very good running back and certainly a good fantasy option. I know last week he didn't really score his touchdown, but for the most part, he's been very productive. So I think that kind of affords the Panthers the opportunity to take it slow with Christian McCaffrey. And it seems like if this game was on Sunday, we could definitely see CMC back. But because of the Thursday night game, there's no real reason to rush. You have basically a two-week period then for the Panthers to get him back and ready to go. I think it's going to happen that he's out this game, and then we'll be back next week. Mm-hmm. And to me, if I am a fantasy manager of Christian McCaffrey, I would rather that alternative occur as opposed to rushing him back tonight, maybe re-aggravating the injury to some extent, and then you're basically looking at a full season of not having the number one overall pick. At least in this situation, you're getting half the season, and for many astute fantasy managers, perhaps you're trading for Christian McCaffrey under the premise that you're getting him for 4 or 5 weeks, but he'll be a productive Christian McCaffrey during that time period. So I'm fine with that outcome if he doesn't play tonight. I think that would be actually my preferred one if I could choose.
He is always going to be good in fantasy as long as he stays healthy. But I have the feeling that any Joe Brady-designed offense in the NFL will be very good to the fantasy world.
Yeah, it's really kind of encouraging to see some of these younger coaches. And I actually think of like Brian Flores, for example. For the Dolphins, I really believe, are trending upward. And that's a good thing to see. And it goes back to really my frustrations from an NFL perspective on like the hiring of Coach Mike McCarthy, for example, Adam Gase in past years as well. Why do we go ahead and focus on these coaches and offensive coordinators in this example, who we know have failed time and time again, when there are a lot of other younger options, but just options that might be able to drastically change your franchise around? And if they fail too, whatever. I mean, like, that's kind of part of this process, is finding the guy that works best for your franchise. And I don't think these coaches that have done it before, have failed before, are really the examples that you want for your team moving forward. Maybe Mike McCarthy is different because he was a Super Bowl winner, but I'm just sitting here as a Packers fan watching the last 3 or 4 years and then see the national media get all excited about him signing for the Cowboys. I'm like, oh, wait, what are we thinking here? And that's where I go back to, you know, Joe Brady, and Matt Rhule, and really putting together a good coaching staff. Let's take more opportunities on these. I mean, it doesn't have to be college coaches, but younger coaches, to see what they can do. Because I like that. I like that idea of the NFL growing and changing and getting better, as opposed to just doing retread stuff because that's the best option we think there is.
If you have a Dallas Cowboy on your roster, is it time to panic?
No, I don't think so. For example, if you have Ezekiel Elliott, you're definitely disappointed. But I'm not sure I'm ready to sell at all. And certainly, if you're going to be trying to trade him, you're not going to get nearly the value you had for his draft pick selection. So you sort of just have to sit on it. I think there is going to be a point, and I still believe the Cowboys win the NFC East division. There's just too much talent on that roster, even with the injuries around, that they're going to have to figure it out. And I don't know if it's like a chemistry thing or it's a situation where they trade some bad apples. Like they're obviously cutting some people. There's rumors about them making moves as well. They're still in contention for that spot. And while it was a very disappointing outcome against Washington last week, I do believe that offense is good enough to be competitive. CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, and Amari Cooper, every single week, one of those three is going to be a guaranteed top 15 wide receiver. It's frustrating when Dak Prescott was around, you could say almost all three were guaranteed top 15 guys or close to it. And that's obviously different with Andy Dalton. But I don't think Dalton is that far of a step back and shouldn't have struggled as much as he did last week before the injury. So I'm still holding optimism for the Cowboys offense as a whole. If there is somebody that's out there and offering you close to what the value for Zeke was around draft day, fine. I'll make that move because there's probably chances are it's going to take a little bit to right this ship. But I think I'd rather hold on to Zeke without trying to move him anyway. And I think for the most part, Amari Cooper is the same type of format for me. It's Michael Gallup and CeeDee Lamb that I would consider are entertaining trade offers for, but I'm not panicking or dropping them in any case.
And Arizona has a bye week after that crazy Sunday night game. But I can't be crazy to think that for the first time in a while in fantasy, that maybe we could find an Arizona Cardinal in a wide receiver one spot the way Christian Kirk is playing.
Well, are you also like, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is kind of a wide receiver one too. I mean, that's the guy that kind of moved over to Arizona this past offseason and has continued to just be as productive as he was with the Texans. But to have two of those guys feels difficult to assume. And I was all in on Christian Kirk entering draft season as kind of this 8th through 11th round selection. And to be honest, I liked him more from a PPR perspective. Really, what I think Larry Fitzgerald was doing now was what I anticipated Christian Kirk would do. And yet we're seeing Kirk still be a red zone factor. So to me, that production is unsustainable. But if he does take more of Larry Fitzgerald's work, then yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Kirk becomes a guy that, at least in the wide receiver two, in every format, is a very consistent option. I just don't know if Larry Fitzgerald has played bad enough where he doesn't have that role. And it's nice to have that veteran presence from Kyler Murray's perspective to sort of rely on Larry Fitzgerald. And then you have basically a more spry version of that in DeAndre Hopkins. So I'm not like aggressively going out there and getting Christian Kirk. I think the red zone production is likely not going to happen again. And the main reason behind that is we finally have Chase Edmonds starting, who was pretty apparent to me from week one and should have been apparent to just about everybody else as well, is the better running back now. And we are guaranteed to get Chase Edmonds to show that production, to show that level of ability with Kenny Drake now out. It seems like multiple weeks, certainly past this bye. So I think Chase Edmonds is actually cut into that Christian Kirk production in the red zone. And while I love Edmonds and be very happy going and trying to acquire him in trade, I think that does come at the detriment of a guy like Kirk.
Frank says, I made the mistake, and I think a higher power hates Niner running backs. I had Jeff Wilson this weekend. He helped me out. Now he's out with an injury. What are your thoughts on Jamichael Hasty?
Yeah, I think Hasty looks pretty explosive, and we can make all the different pun names about his last name, and those are all great. I'll leave it to other people to do that, but I think Hasty actually looks pretty good, and maybe it's in contrast to Jerick McKinnon, who just hasn't looked right, and it was so weird to see the Niners say, hey, let's just go ahead and take this as a rest game for Jerick McKinnon. We'll go ahead and give Wilson and Hasty all the work, and with that now as a possibility, I don't really think it affects NFL's NFL preparation. Like, mm-hmm. NFL teams can more or less figure out what the Niners are going to do regardless of who's playing. But it certainly hurts the prospects of fantasy managers trying to predict what's going to happen. And it just feels like Kyle is following the footsteps of his father, just making himself frustrated from a running back perspective in fantasy. So, all right, great. We have now Jermichael Hasty. Jarrett McKinnon supposedly is going to be back to being the featured back now. Tevin Coleman should be returning from IR in the near future as well, which also complicates matters. Like, I love Tevin Coleman as well in that 8th through 10th range in drafts in August, because I thought, hey, we haven't really seen Mostert be productive for much more than a season. Obviously, he bounced around a lot of practice squads. Tevin Coleman, we know, is talented, and I still believe Tevin Coleman is talented. So maybe this situation with the injury in Coleman gives him time to really get, I don't want to say in condition, because how can he really get in condition from an injury, but gives him time to process how to be an effective running back again at the NFL level, and takes away the opportunities from Hasty and McKinnon. It's really difficult. And like, when I talk about running back situations, the Rams and 49ers, you really want one of those guys, but it sure is difficult to figure out who you want each and every week, and it makes it even more important to have even like a David Johnson of the world. I know he's on bye this week, but he's guaranteed to get some sort of production. David Montgomery, who I really despise and just don't think is that good of a player, well, at least he's getting 4 or 5 targets and 50-plus yards a game rushing because they have nobody else. Those guys have like a lower ceiling, but at least gives you a safer floor than anything the 49ers or Rams can provide you.
What's your thoughts? And he's not eligible until, what, week 9, but he could be great in fantasy playoffs. What's your thoughts on people that are looking at Antonio Brown sitting on the waiver wire right now?
Yeah, go ahead and waste a roster spot if you want. I mean, that really is how I feel about it. I'm frustrated from an NFL perspective that we are doing this. I feel like you've had multiple opportunities as a Raider and Patriot to prove what you can do in terms of being a person and certainly a professional level, and that didn't happen. So do we really need to have this opportunity again? Well, yes, because Tom Brady said so. So here we are, and I get it. The NFL teams have to add talent wherever they are. That's part of being an NFL organization. It's the same reason that Steve signed Le'Veon Bell, too. But just from a human perspective, it's frustrating to me to see. And I kind of treat this like a Josh Gordon situation with the Patriots last year, even Josh Gordon with the Seahawks, too, where maybe he comes in and factors a little bit. But there's no reason to be aggressively signing him for agency. Again, he can't play till week 9. The Buccaneers also have a week 13 bye, which could be very troubling if your playoffs are like a 2-week thing, which would then start the 2-week playoff ticker around week 13. So like that's also a factor for a lot of people, and the Buccaneers have a really good fantasy team overall. And the fact that he's behind Chris Godwin, I think he's going to be behind Scotty Miller and Mike Evans along with Gronk, and the pass catching running backs, whether it be Fournette or Ronald Jones, I just think it's a bit of a waste.
We start there. Jeff says Denzel Mims or, as you just mentioned, Scotty Miller.
I would rather have Scotty Miller this week. We've seen Mike Evans really go off when Chris Godwin was out, so I anticipate it is going to be a Mike Evans day, and if you have DFS intentions, I think Evans is going to be a fine enough one. But I think Scotty Miller, I do believe at this point with Tom Brady the way he's playing, there has to be a second guy that does stuff. And when I say does stuff, that could mean Leonard Fournette getting 60 receiving yards and a couple of carries as well. That could mean Ronald Jones going for 125-plus yards. I think Mike Evans is pretty much a guarantee. It's just a matter of who's that second guy. And I think I'd rather have Scotty Miller against the Giants. Like, it's possible that, you know, they just blow the socks off the Giants in the first half and we're done with it. This is a primetime game in New York. I think there's going to be a level of competitiveness that the Giants are going to provide. And I also really do like having players on Monday night to kind of see, all right, what are my expectations for tonight, my fantasy purposes? Am I going to be able to get a win? Can Scotty Miller get me 10 points? Great, I can watch this and not have to sweat about it as much. And like, I like Denzel Mims from the idea of this is a good pickup, especially with the Jets still dealing with injuries at wide receiver. But I would just rather take the odds of Scotty Miller's upside than whatever Mims could give you this week.
Hyde or Perine at running back?
Yeah, this is going to be Hyde so long as Chris Carson is out. And we don't really know that. I mean, there's been, what, 2 different times, at least one I know off the top of my head, where we've had this conversation. Chris Carson will not play. He suffered a tough injury. He's going to be out at least 1 or 2 weeks. And that didn't happen. I mean, the Seahawks treat Chris Carson like an adult, unlike the Packers do, I feel like, with Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, where these guys are hurt. They say they can play. All right, let them play. But if Chris Carson is truly out, then I think Carlos Hyde has to be the option. I would just kind of keep tabs on that even up to Sunday afternoon, because I'm not sure we're going to really have that answer given Chris Carson's injury history this year.
Let's talk about Todd. Todd needs 2.5 point PPR. He's got Mike Davis, Hyde, Gaskin, or Lindsey.
Mike Davis, Hyde, or Gaskin, and he needs 2 of those 3?
Yeah, he needs 2. Half-point PPR. And, okay, or Lindsey.
For me, I'm...
Or Lindsey.
Oh, and Lindsey's kind of suffering with injury stuff right now, too. Gaskin and the first one are going to be... Yeah, Gaskin and the first option are going to be where I'm going to go with. Again, I'm waiting to see if... Even if Carson is out, I think I'd rather have Hyde sitting on my bench in that scenario and just roll with the guys that have kind of got me to there at this point.
Okay, it looks like Joe's having some running back trouble. He says pick 3. He's got Elair, Connor, Gaskin, or Jones.
Who is the second option again? I heard Elair, but who was after that?
Connor.
Connor, okay. Huh, yeah, so like Connor's been so consistent, but he's got the Ravens defense this week.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit of a tough situation. I think you just have to say, all right, shrug your shoulders. I might only get 70 mm-hmm. or 80 yards tops. Hope he falls in the end zone, that's fine, because I just don't want to take Connor away from my lineup. And I know these AFC North games end up being really competitive, and it's really hard to decide what's going to happen because they know each other so well. I think I want to have Edwards, Hilaire, and Connor in there right now, only because just the upside those guys have, and the off chance does occur, is greater than anybody else really can provide.
All right, Jacob has got a question for you. He's in a PPR league. He needs 1 wide receiver and 2 flexes from the following group. Allen Robinson, Amari Cooper, Deontay Johnson, Brandon Ayuk, and A.J. Green. He's got some injury concerns with Robinson and Johnson, and QB concern with Cooper, which makes it tough.
Yeah, so I'm actually benching Deontay Johnson and A.J. Green from this group. So really the Ayuk play is the one that I think most people would be surprised with. I'm all in on Ayuk right now, especially this week against the Seahawks defense that we've seen just get eviscerated every single week now of the season they've played. But also Deebo Samuel being out, I think Ayuk actually ends up being like a top 15, top 20 play overall. So I don't know where the line is drawn in terms of who I would be starting Ayuk over instead. I think I'd have Robert Woods over an Ayuk, although I'll be debating it. Robbie Anderson against the Falcons this night, I'd have Anderson over Ayuk. But, like for example, Marquise Brown, yeah, I'm taking Ayuk over him. Juju Smith-Schuster, Ayuk as well. CeeDee Lamb, Devontae Parker, both those guys are sitting for Ayuk. That's how confident I do feel in this matchup and with Deebo Samuel likely out of it. So Amari Cooper is still a mainstay in my lineup. I know I get the quarterback concerns, but I think it's a little bit a little bit too much. I guess if Ben DiNucci is the starter and Dalton's officially out, maybe I would consider A.J. Green in that instance. But for sure, Deontay Johnson is going to be sitting for me against the Ravens this week.
Ezekiel Elliott or Antonio Gibson?
Yeah, this is still Zeke. I'm going back to it. Just is really hard for me to bench my number one guy, and I think I get it with the Cowboys and everyone's worries about them, but I do believe it's a little bit overblown by the national media. And I just wonder, like, aren't you going to be kicking yourself if Zeke gets 100 yards and a touchdown because you are worried about some things that we really haven't seen actually play out on the field? Like, that's where I just have a hard time benching Zeke in any format, even if I have him. I guess it. There have to be some really, really quality backups that I have, and I'm just like going off memory of ones that are available right now, and I don't know a situation that would really apply.
Jacob, who is a fellow Packer fan, PPR league, he needs 1 wide receiver and 2 flex. Robinson, Cooper, Deontay Johnson, Ayuk, or A.J. Green. There are some injury concerns in there.
Well, the good news is that I think we actually covered this one. I still
bad.
Have all over my
all good.
Right now. I think he's the final fill-in for that group of Robinson and Cooper.
This is more of an injury question. Chris Godwin is out this weekend?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. He will be out this weekend, and that goes back to my thoughts that Mike Evans is going to be a pretty popular candidate, and we've seen Mike Evans really only have his good games when Chris Godwin's out. And I don't know why that happens, and I've watched every Buccaneers game and, you know, the All-22 tape and everything else like that, and I don't really see the difference that's happening, but for whatever the reason, Brady targets Mike Evans extremely, to an extreme extent when Godwin's out. It still is fine with me for Scotty Miller as well, but Evans is going to be the biggest beneficiary with Godwin out.
DJ Moore or Nelson Agholor?
Oh, this is DJ Moore for me. And I actually, there's a few guys that I really like, and I wanted to talk about this before we went off air, but RotoWire just got a new tool on the site right now. You can get a free trial of RotoWire by going rotowire.com/free or rotowire.com/radio. 10-day free trial. You get all the access to the site, the daily lineups, DFS tools, things like that. But one of my favorite tools that I've been focusing on right now, and I tweeted about it just yesterday, we've added something that takes into account matchups for the rest of the year. And ordered everything in terms of strength of schedule by position. So quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. You can see all of the players and their matchups respective to the other people and the other teams right now and compare and contrast. And we also have nice little images, color coding, so you can understand what's happening too. It's a really, really great tool, but one of the biggest things that I saw was just focusing on those Panthers wide receivers. I think it's going to be a beneficial thing for the rest of the year. And that was one of the ones I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, like Robbie Anderson, okay, fine. DJ Moore, okay, fine. But you look at the Panthers' schedule, and I really believe that DJ Moore is going to be somebody that you can almost confidently start in your lineup for the rest of the season, even as a wide receiver two, but certainly where you're drafting him likely around a wide receiver one. I feel pretty good about that. The fact that they have their Week 13 bye is a little bit problematic, and I talked about from the Buccaneers' perspective. But I do think that strength of schedule, once you get past the Chiefs and Buccaneers in weeks 9 and 10, is going to be really, really promising.
Two more. Who do you think, and these are more, these people are trying to garner your opinion, who do you think will get the targets with OBJ out for the year?
Yeah, so we talked about on the Tuesday RotoWire NFL podcast I do with my co-host here, Tarski, and we broke down a lot of the free agent guys. And obviously, OBJ was one of the biggest injuries this weekend, or past weekend. So who factors from it? The complicating matter of this was Austin Hooper having his appendectomy, and I'm almost certain Hooper is not playing this week as well. So how does David Njoku and Harrison Bryant factor in with OBJ also being out? Both Njoku and Bryant scored touchdowns. Bryant got two, actually. I had a really good game overall. I think Bryant actually is going to be a guy that sticks around even after Hooper comes back, more or less pushing Njoku out of that number two spot. That's the Kevin Stefanski offense that gets two tight ends involved. And if Hooper takes some time to recover from an appendectomy, which he should, I had one in late March, and I can tell you for certain I was not ready to play NFL in 2 weeks afterwards, then I think he's like the biggest factor. And once it's kind of like clinched, I think kind of the Justin Jefferson effect, if you will, you can't really put the genie back in the bottle. And I think that's where Harrison Bryant is going to be a bit of a factor. I also think Rashad Higgins is the guy, and I kind of said – he's a top four or five pickup overall this week because the talent has always been there. The opportunity has not. He's going to have that now with OBJ out. I don't think Jarvis Landry is completely healthy from his injury this past off season. And Baker Mayfield's schedule, just talking about that tool earlier, is also pretty high up there for the next couple weeks too. So I really like Higgins as a wide receiver three or flex option. I think both he and Bryant benefit greatly with OBJ out.
Dan says, CeeDee Lamb, or do you have a recommendation off the waiver wire for a wide receiver this weekend?
Yeah, that's really tough to know for certain. Maybe like send me an image after in a couple minutes on Twitter at JB Fantasy Sports, and I can kind of go over some of the options. But I guess I'll just say I'm not worried about CeeDee Lamb rest of season. Maybe it's not a great start this week as the Cowboys still try to figure it out, especially if Ben DiNucci is your starting quarterback for the Dallas Stars. I don't know. We're going to hockey now all of a sudden. But like, I think Lamb is really talented. I think the Cowboys offense has a lot of talented pieces, and I really believe that talent is going to win out eventually at this point, especially with that division. So I'm not worried about CeeDee Lamb, but certainly if there are, like, if you can send me an image of wide receivers that are available right now, I'll be glad to go over them.
One final thing. What's your gut say about Michael Thomas?
Weird. Yeah. If I had to surmise it in one word, like what's happening in this situation? I still think that Thomas rest of the season is probably a top five, top three fantasy wide receiver. the emergence of DK Metcalf and kind of confirmation of Davante Adams returning from injury has made it where Thomas isn't the obvious number one anymore. And it's weird to see the Saints play these games with Thomas and see him play them on the national media side of things. When the Saints are like going to be a playoff team and hopefully have aspirations for a long playoff run. But because they have those aspirations, I really have a hard time seeing how this Thomas thing really goes sideways other than what we've occurred over the last 2 or 3 weeks. He's still a pretty quality option. I'll be very comfortable trading for him if there was a manager that was kind of panicking about his status.
Great stuff, Joe, as always. I appreciate it. Hopefully we get off to a good start this week with Atlanta and Carolina tonight. And enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you next Thursday.
Yeah, guys. Thanks, as always, for having me on.
That's Joe Bartel from RotoWire. And as he mentioned, that's a great tool that – right now is up on RotoWire, and you can see it. You follow Joe on Twitter at JB Fantasy Sports. Looks like no McCaffrey tonight. They're going to hold off on another week of him on the shelf. All right, 131. Parker Gabriel is next. Maybe PG can figure out all of this stuff that's gone on, a whirlwind of news. See, that's the part. Nebraska's never boring. People say it's a flyover state. Yawn, you drive through Omaha and Lincoln, and then it's flat the rest of the way. No. There's always something going on. Sometimes it's created by our own. Other times it's created by the outside. PG joins us next.